Me? Look at all these fathers up here. We're all fathers. And there's a pop in the box. In a couple more months, it's going to be pop goes the father. There you go. I just got this strange feeling that some of y'all in here feel very unappreciated and or feel like you're not doing your job and or feel like nobody sees the sacrifices you make. And I want to tell you right now that God sees your sacrifices. He knows you're not perfect. If you're not perfect, raise your hand. If you know for definite you're not perfect, raise both of them. Guess what? You're still a good, good father. You're here today. You got your people here. You're doing your best to raise your family right. No, you're not perfect, but you're loved by God. He loves you. You are His called man for your family. You're His called man for your environment. You stand strong and stand tall and know that God's got His hand on you and that you're something special and that you're loved and appreciated by your Heavenly Father, who is perfect in every way. And He takes care of all of our imperfections. He fills in the gaps. He's like putty. Well, we got gaps. He puts the putty in. Amen. I'm glad He puts, I got putty everywhere. All right. That's okay. Because it's God's putty. Amen. Matter of fact, every man in here, if you can get another father, give him a high five. Yes. God is good all the time. Y'all sing that chorus one more time. Please do. It's who I am. Praise God, praise God. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Yes. God is awesome. How'd y'all like Praise Unplugged? Isn't it cool? Oh, here, I need that one. Oh, you're gonna. Oh, that one's there. Okay. One of them. Are you trying to give me a padded one? Yeah, I need a padded one. Amen. I'm already feeling old enough as it is. I just squatted down one night. I was having problems with my knees. I was in food line. And so I squatted down. I can do it now, praise God. But that night I couldn't. I was down here, and the peanuts I was trying to get was on the very bottom shelf, all the way at the back. I'm looking down, and I'm getting down further and further, and finally I'm going, and two young guys come by and said, "That's okay, buddy. We'll get them for you." I never wanted to pop two young guys so hard in my entire life. "It's okay, buddy." Yeah. Oh, yeah, I couldn't have got up to get him anyway. Yeah. I'm glad, Brandon, I'm glad you did what you did today because you helped me out a lot for the sermon today. Where you at? There you are. First of all, let me say, guess what's happening Tuesday? We have an election. Now, I'm going to tell you there's a problem going on, and that is people are trying to vote for personality. Don't vote for personality. Remember John Edwards? His wife's dying of cancer, and he's out running around, but he's got good-looking hair, and so they're voting for him. Am I kidding? Isn't that what it was? People said he had good-looking, hair. You looked at his record, he didn't do any voting. You get in there, find out that his wife's dying of cancer, he's running around on her, but he wanted to get, going to be president, vice president. You know what? Don't vote for personality. Don't vote for Hillary because you want a woman in the White House. And don't vote for Trump because you want a non-politician in the White House. Voting for Trump because you want a non-politician in the White House and voting for Hillary because you want a woman in the White House is like saying, "It's time to go to lunch and there's a trash can right outside my house. It'll save me time and energy. I'll go eat out of a trash can. Oh, y'all shouting me down now. Vote for the platform. The platform. The platform is as cut and dry as you can ever want. You know what one side wants. You know what the other side stands for. Vote for the platform. Don't vote for Hillary. Don't vote for Trump. Vote for the platform. If you vote for the platform, I believe it'll be all right. Matter of fact, even if that next week, I already got a sermon for next week. After, I was going to preach it this week, but the Lord put something heavy on my heart. And so I'm getting ready to do that too. Y'all stand up. Y'all are looking too out of it here. Stand up. See, we did an acoustic set, and y'all got all peaceful, easy feeling here. But that's okay, because we might not have such a peaceful, easy feeling in a few minutes. Ready? Here we go. I was asking the Lord to show me, and the Lord started dealing with me and showing me some things about what we're going through now. And I rode by, and as the Lord was speaking to me, it's one of those things that you know God's doing it because as you're riding by, all of a sudden you see things, signs that start happening around you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Here we go. Let's get this thing right. All right. Again, how'd y'all like Praise Unplugged? Can you believe the sound that come out of that box? Yeah. All that sound out of all that box was awesome. Amen. First, I want to tell you something. Why are you standing? Because I want you to know, have you ever noticed anybody or known anybody that actually you thought they were really strong spiritually and you find out they really were just puffing stuff? They looked good. They pulled a John Edwards on you. They look good, but they just weren't really spiritual. Here, I'm going to tell you something. Here's the top 10 signs. I want you to look at this. Here's the top 10 signs. I think that goes good with what we're going to talk about today. Top 10 signs that you may not be reading your Bible enough. All right, ready? Number one, the preacher announces the sermon is from Genesis, and you have to check the table of contents. All right. Number nine, you think Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob may have had a few hit songs in the 60s. You open your Bible, number eight, to the Gospel of Luke, and a World War II savings bond falls out. Number seven, your favorite Old Testament patriarch is Hercules. Number six, a small family of woodchucks is taking up residence in the Psalms of your Bible. Okay. You become frustrated because Charlton Heston isn't listed in either the concordance or the table of contents. Here's an oldie but goldie. You believe the epistles are the wives of the apostles. Number three, you think the minor prophets worked in the quarries. I know this is going downhill fast, I think. Here you go. You keep falling forward every time when the pastor tells you to turn to First Condominiums. That's Corinthians. Oh, okay. Finally, number one reason, though, you might not be reading your Bible enough. The kids keep asking too many questions about your usual bedtime story. Jonah, the shepherd boy, and his ark of many colors. Okay, get your Bibles out. Matter of fact, you ain't got to even get your Bible out. You can just look up here and read it with me, but you can if you want to. Now, before we get going, I was actually straining on this one because you know me. I've been here for many, many years, and I very seldom talk specifically about this one subject. But the Lord, a couple of years ago, I did do a series of three or four services that included this. But today, I will say for the first time ever, I'm going to talk about a subject that I believe is going to revolutionize your life. How would you like to know that I could tell you something today that would change your life forever? That would change not only your physical life, but your emotional life, your spiritual life, and your financial life. Amen. Amen. So here we go. I want you to watch this now. Brandon, I'm glad you said what you said. It was awesome. Sometimes it don't feel good, but you know it's right. Okay, well, this is one of those times. Get ready. Look at somebody and say, if you leave, I'm going after you. Matter of fact, say, if you leave, I'm going to trip you. Okay, get ready. Today, I want to talk to you for just a few moments on, watch this. This is the bumper sticker I saw. I was talking to the Lord about this, and I saw this bumper sticker. Out of clear blue sky, tithe if you love Jesus, anyone can honk.
Isn't that cool?
Let me do it again. Tithe if you love Jesus. Anyone can honk. Yeah. As a matter of fact, as I was riding down the road, I saw that, and the Lord told me, he said, you need to talk to my people. You need to tell them what is the truth. Because if you don't tell them the truth, they will base their stewardship on misinformation. And misinformation will also cause you, no matter how much you think you got it going on, if you got misinformation, you will find that you have misproperties coming back. All right? So watch this. Here it is. Malachi 3, and the proof is in the pudding. First time I've ever preached from this scripture solely. I have, like I said, a couple of years ago, did about 4 weeks of stewardship, and I talk about stewardship all the time, talent, and resources, but this is specifically talking about tithe. Y'all are going to say, it's about time. Okay, good. I'm glad you said that, and I feel better. Okay. This is the only principle where God says, prove me. Now, I haven't forgot. We're going to read this, then we're going to pray. This is the only principle where God says, prove me. Prove me. This is the only time God says, you do what I show you. You do what I tell you. Prove me by your actions. And I'll back up. You know, I like watching Tombstone. And when Wyatt Earp's brother becomes Marshall, Virgil and his brother says, how about talk some sense into him? And he pulls up his shirt and says, not you too. And he says, well, I just figured I'd do like you. I'd back my brother's play. Meaning what was good, I needed to hang in there and show that I approved it. Okay, prove me. In other words, God says, if you take care of his business, listen carefully, he'll take care of yours. The problem is, and it happens a lot in this last day, especially with the economy as crazy as it is, and with taxes going up and all kinds of prices going up, and it seems like we have more outcome than income, and it just seems like things are getting tighter and tighter and tighter, and it seems like the enemy's fighting harder and harder and harder. God says, you take care of his business, he'll take care of yours. Now here we go. I'm going to read this, and then we're going to pray. Y'all look up here. You got it right here, so you don't even have to turn to it unless you want to. Okay? For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, where shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with the curse. You have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, so that you may be meat in mine house, and prove me there herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out of a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground or the fruits of your labor, neither shall your vine cast forth fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord, and all the nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land. It saith the Lord of hosts. And I like this other version. I'm going to read it quickly, and then we're going to go right into this thing from the message. I am God. Yes, I am. I haven't changed. And because I haven't changed, you, the descendants of Jacob, haven't been destroyed. You have a long history of ignoring my commands. You haven't done a thing I've told you. Does that sound like mama and daddy talking to you when you were a teenager? Return to me so I can return to you, says the God of the angels' armies. You ask, but how do we return? Begin by being honest. Do honest people rob God? Do you rob? But you rob me day after day. You ask, well, how we robbed you? The tithe and offering, that's how. And now you're under a curse, the whole lot of you, because you are robbing me. Bring your full tithe into the temple treasury so that there will be ample provisions in my temple. Test me in this and see if I don't open up heaven itself to you and pour out blessings beyond your wildest dreams. For my part, I will defend you against the marauders, protect your wheat fields, and vegetable gardens against plunderers. The message of God of the armies, you will be voted happiest nation. You'll experience what it's like to be a great country of grace. God of the army, angel armies says so. Now stretch your hands this way. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, for this day. I thank you for this awesome congregation. I thank you for this awesome music that we've heard. I thank you, God, that you are more than ample, Lord, to do whatever we need this day. I ask you right now, Lord, to help us, Lord, to open our hearts and to open our minds, to help us, Lord, to keep ourselves our minds awake, our hearts awake, open our hearts, open our minds, open our spirits. Lord, help us, Father, to realize this is not about money. This is about attitude and actions. And Father, help us, Lord, to know what we're supposed to do and how to do it, especially in this crazy generation, because I believe that we're coming up against the time when the marauders are coming stronger and stronger, when the enemy's coming to attack our families more and more. And God, you said, in this order here, prove you, and you would take care of the things that are coming against you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. You can be seated. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise on the way down. Yes. Now, I want you to know something. Malachi is in a perfect place in the Bible. It's the last book. Now, why is it the last book? It's because it is the last message before the 400 silent years between the Old Testament and the New Testament. How many knew there was a 400-year silence? It's a time when God stopped speaking. I mean, there was the Maccabees. What happened was, during this time in the 400 silent years, Alexander the Great took over the temple. When he took over the temple, when he died, one of his generals became king. And when one of his generals became king, his general, in turn, put the god of Zeus in the temple to be worshipped. And when he's in the temple to be worshipped, God raises up the Maccabees. And the Maccabees come along, they revolt, and they get the temple, and they get it back pure, and they get it back holy, and they protect it during these 400 silent years. God is preparing people before the silence hits them. Now, let me just, don't get confused when I tell you this, but how many has at times felt silence? Amen? Sometimes there's silence. And I'm going to go into that later on, a few messages down the road. This isn't all about all the times God is silent. This is why, but this is one of the reasons. Now, so I want you to understand, when God is silent, sometimes he's teaching you to walk by faith, not by sight. He's teaching you not to rely on feelings. Well, I got goosebumps, so I know what to do it. God says goosebumps is not an indication I want you to do it. Obedience to my word is what indicates I want you to do it. Amen? All right, so now, but this is one of the reasons. Now, there's 400 silent years, and why is God allowing, listen to timing now, why did God allow these 400 silent years? Well, there was trouble brewing, and here was the trouble. I just read it. He said they had turned from God. God had brought them back. God had brought them back into their land, and God says, now I want you to rebuild the temple. When they go to rebuild the temple, they get thinking, well, this is hard. You know what? We got our own stuff to take care of. How can we take care of the stuff of God and take care of our stuff too? So we'll take care of our stuff, and when God needs it, or when we feel like we got it, we'll go help God. But until then, we'll take care of our own stuff. We'll talk about that in a minute. But you see, and I can't tell you the times, and I mean this with all my heart, I can't tell you the times people come by when I'm out standing outside in the parsonage over the years and go, Pastor, I was on the way to the dump. And I thought the church might could use this. Glory to God. God, don't I make you feel wonderful. I'm on the way to the dump. I'm going to throw this away, but you might can use it. So, Lord, here it is. I'm putting you first, God. Not. So watch this. He says, get yourself in spiritual shape. Then he says, put me back in first place. So many times it says, well, you're going to rob me? He says, look, put me back in first place. I am God. I am your holiness. I am your victory. I am your personal believer in you more than anybody else. I've got something for you that nobody else can have. Put me first. And then he says there's a promise coming in the fourth chapter. He's going to send the spirit of Elijah before Jesus comes. And that was John the Baptist. So here's what he's saying. Now, this 400 silent years, I'm going to be quiet. And while I'm quiet, no goosebumps, no hairs off the back of your neck, while I'm being quiet, I need you to get yourself back in spiritual shape. Don't go by the goosebumps, go by my word. Don't go because you feel it. I got a feeling. I had a lady one time I pastored, and every day she called me and said, God told me. And the next day she called me and told me something different. God told her something different. And I said, and she told one week in 7 days, she called me 7 times and told me 7 times how God changed his mind every day. And I said, how do you know that's God? She says, there's a burning in my chest. I said, sister, you need to get you some Rolaids. Because God don't change his mind 7 times in 7 days. No. And so again, in the silence, I need you to get back yourself in spiritual shape. I need you to put me first, not based on a feeling, but based on his word. And then he says, when the time is right, I'm going to send John the Baptist, and Jesus is coming. So there's something good coming in this thing. So now, this is quick. I'll try to be quick. I know this is a squiggle sermon, and I didn't want to preach it. I promise you I didn't want to preach it, because y'all know I don't preach about tithe all the time. You know that. You've known me long enough to know. But this time the Lord said, do it. And while I'm riding down the road and saying, do it, I'll pass a bumper sticker, tithe if you love Jesus. Anybody can help. I said, okay, Lord. I think I got it. He told me about 4 times last week. And so on Thursday morning, here it comes. The Lord says, and I was working on one about the election. And he says, I want this one today. I said, okay, Lord. So now watch. Watch this. The tithe. What is the tithe? Well, back in the day, you know, you had fields. My granddaddy was a farmer, and he had a field. He called it God's field. My granddaddy Linton. I'm going to fall over this thing. It was right here. There you go. I got some room now. I can walk a little bit. All right. So now, my granddaddy had a field. One field that was God's field. And whenever he raised his crops, whatever came from that field went to God every year. I remember when I was a little boy, he told me, he said, now, son, that's God's field. Or grandson, that's God's field. And I said, that's God's field? He says, yes. He said, when I bring my crops up, he says that when I have my harvest, I keep up with what comes from that spot. And whatever comes from that spot, I give directly to God. I said, wow, that's awesome, granddad. And that stuck with me very strongly. You see, the tithe is the tenth part. Of course, we don't have, a lot of us don't have cows and sheep and have to skin our sheep and send the fur off, or not fur, but the wool off and all that. But the tithe is the tenth part. It's the, and he says, he doesn't say the tenth part. He says, bring all the tithe. All the tithe. We got a bad habit of splitting it all up every which way. And if you do that, I'm not here fussing with you, and I'm not here trying to tell you any different. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. You and God can argue about it. I ain't got to argue with you about it. I'm just telling you what the Bible says, okay? It says bring all the tithe, all of it. Don't split it over here and over here and over there and over there. That's offering over here, over there, and everywhere. Tithe is specific. Here's why. Watch this. It says all of it. Look, what's the storehouse? The storehouse is specific. Why? He says, specifically, bring all the tithes, then he specifies it, into the storehouse. Now, the storehouse, this is the storehouse. And because this is the storehouse, it's for special. Why does he say, bring all the tithes into the storehouse? Here it is. Watch this. Look, that there may be meat in my house. You see, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts. He's not begging. He's not out there saying, if you send me this, I'll send you an anointed cloth. Send me $100, I'll send you an anointed cloth. Send me $1,000, I'll put your name on a wall somewhere. No, he just says, you make sure you take care of my business, and I'll take care of yours. Prove me. If you think I'm telling you a story, then don't even worry about it. I'm giving you an opportunity. That's what God said. I'm giving you an opportunity here. Prove me. You find out. You try it. You show me. Show me that you're concerned about my work, and I'll show you that I'm concerned about your work. So now, let's just go a little bit further. I know this is really good, isn't it? Y'all shout. Come shout. Do something. Okay. So now, watch now. We're just talking about the target. Then there's the tipping point. Now here's the tipping point. You watch. Watch this carefully. He says, how many know you're blessed to be a blessing? That's right. So now watch. Notice that he called his house a storehouse. Here's the principle. If you don't put anything in it, it can't sustain itself. Ministry internal. and it can't sustain others' ministry externally. God says, put it in here. God can do it. God can just do like that. And I've seen him do it. Matter of fact, Sister Hazel saw God do that with me one day. I mean, I was sitting there. I just left Procter & Gamble. Didn't have any insurance. Daniel was really, really sick, and I needed some money for Daniel. And I think they said it was $10 or $20, whatever it was, $10, $20. And all I had was half of it. And I put the bill up there, and she said, well, you got to come up with the rest of the money. And I said, I don't know. And so I walked out to the car. I said, let me go out to the car and check. And I knew what I was going to do. I went out to the car and sat there and prayed. I said, Lord, that was every dime I had. That boy needs this medicine. I know you can heal him, but you ain't healed him yet. And I know that you give this medicine for us to be healed when you haven't just miraculously done it. I said, but I've only got half of what it takes. And I don't understand. Never touched it. Never touched it. Put a staple on top of it while I walked out. She put a staple on top of somebody messed with it. I come back in. I said, Lord, it's got to be you because I ain't got it. I said, I did all this. I believe I did everything you told me to do. I believe I'm doing what you told me to do. And I believe you told me to come into the ministry. I believe all this stuff. And I can't believe it. Now, when the first test is Daniel's sick, you didn't heal him. He needs medicine. And I've only got half of it. I come back in and I said, I didn't remember what I even said to you. Yes. Nobody ever touched it. God did it. Yes. Yes. Yeah, that was awesome. You see, so let me get back into this thing now. The ministry, God again, he can make it happen. He's made it happen before. He'll make it happen again. God can make it happen. God is not waiting for the Congress to sign another bill to send him money. God owns the cattle of 1,000 hills and the hills thereon. God owns it all. He owns the universe in the span of his hand from his pinky to his thumb. He owns it all. But God says from the very beginning with Adam and Eve, I need you to participate with me. And when you participate with me, watch what will happen. And so he said, so it can't sustain itself in ministry internal. It can't sustain others' ministry external, not because God doesn't have it, but because he wants us in our bringing in the tithe and the offering, we will become a conduit. See, a lot of times we're not conduits. We're vessels. God's pouring it in and we're holding it. He's pouring it in and we're taking care of it, but we're not blessing others. And so I have noticed that whenever I become a vessel, it seems like it stops or it slows down or just to a screeching halt. But when I open up my hands and I begin to bless others, God keeps pouring it in and pouring it in and pouring it in, because then you become a conduit. Amen. And so watch this now. I know again, some of y'all might not agree with this, and that's okay. I'm just doing what God told me to do. God told me, and I got to be released from that burden, tell y'all about tithe. And so that's what I'm doing. All right, so now get ready. The tipping point now, when you tithe, look at the windows pouring open. Woo! How'd y'all like to have some of that happening right now? Wouldn't that be cool? So now watch this. Get ready. When you begin to tithe, first, it's an act of faith. Do I really trust him? I really trust his word. When he says, prove me, am I going to prove him? I mean, it's obvious Satan's proving me all the time. But am I going to prove God? And then, what is my motivation? Your motivation should be love, not religion. but relationship. I am trying to please my Father. My Father says this is the way He's got it set up. This is what He's doing. And this is one He says, prove me, because not only when you bless me do I get blessed, my house gets blessed, but when you bless me, I bless you. The difference is, whatever size shovel you use, whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. That's not my law, that's God's law. If you want to know, if you need more understanding in your life amongst people, show more understanding. If you need more love in your life, show more love. If you need more compassion, show more compassion. If you need more mercy, show more mercy. And it'll come back to you. So here it is. So there's a promise. He says, I will pour out a blessing beyond your capacity to receive it. Does it mean he's going to just open up the bank card and says, hey, we just had a big old landfall, come on in here, and we got $1 million for you? No. Does it mean you're going to win the Publisher's Clearinghouse giveaway? No. But it does mean that the blessings, whether it be monetary, whether it be physical, whether it be financial, whether it be spiritual, the blessings will be there, and the blessings will come. And so again, he'll pour out a blessing beyond your ability to receive it. But not only is he going to pour out a blessing beyond your ability to receive it, that's what he said, not my word. He said it. And this isn't me up here saying, well, I need another Learjet. I need some more gas for my Learjet so I can drive across country and preach a revival somewhere else. So I need y'all to send me $1,000. No. That's not what this is about. I get so aggravated when I watch these guys on television. Y'all help me with my vision. I need 50 people to give $50,000 apiece. Have y'all heard that stuff? If anybody give $1,000, then I will wipe my brow on this cloth and I'll give it to you. Keep your brow. Keep your cloth. God has His way of sustaining the ministry. His ministry, not ours. His ministry. So first, He promises He's going to pour out a blessing that you cannot contain. It doesn't necessarily mean money back, but it means that there's going to be blessings. It may be in your health. It may be in some other situation. But here's another thing He promises. Not only is He going to promise to pour out, but He also promises protection. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Wow. Not only is He going to promise to bless me, but He's going to protect that blessing and protect me. Wow. Does that mean you'll never get in trouble again? No. Does that mean you're going to walk around and never have another problem? No, that's not what it means. Not at all. Because hell's coming at you every day, and the stronger God blesses you, the more hell's going to try to come against you. And you may think it's bad now. You know, you may think that things are tough on you now. Can you imagine what it'd be like if God took all of His protection away from you? Can you imagine? I guarantee you there would be some empty seats in here today if God took all His protection away, because some of y'all could have been killed on the way up here and God moved the car out of the way. God held you up when that thing come by. You know, I remember when I got in that wreck that day out there at Blunt's Creek. I remember just before I got hit, there was a BMW way ahead of me. And the car, just before it got in my lane, it grazed the BMW, and it shifted the car's trajectory just a little bit. And so when the car hit me, it hit me headlight to headlight and spun me around. I went 190 foot like this. State Patrolman said I should have been dead. But I remember just before it hit me, I'm still trying to reconcile what I'm seeing. I'm seeing this car coming in my lane. I'm going 55, 60 miles an hour. And he's going 60 miles an hour, and I see him coming in my lane, and all of a sudden, I see this brilliant flash of light. And then he hits me. And I've never been hit that hard in my entire life. No brakes, 55, 60, and 60. Just no brakes. Hit. Dead hit. But you know why I kept passing everybody at the wreck? What was that bright light? What was that bright light? What was that? It's the brightest light I've ever seen in my life. I can't believe this bright light. I was asking the doctors, what was this bright light? And Linda looked over and she said, son, think about it. They just told you should have been dead. The other guys are dead. It hit you. She said, don't you think that could have been an angel? Then I thought about it. Man, coming down with his sword and going, look, not today. Wow. You see, matter of fact, that Sunday, that was on Saturday, on Sunday, I come back to church and I said, there's a lot of rumors that I was killed yesterday. I said, but the rumor of my demise has been greatly exaggerated. So I said, well, Lord, I need something to show what this is talking about. I need you to help me. Help me explain this a little better. So here it is. Watch this. Tipping point. Now watch this now. See, I got a little X in there. Watch this. Open and shut. Heaven open, hell shut. And then watch this. Heaven shut, hell open. Now hold on just a minute. Don't read between the lines. Or maybe you can. The Bible just said in Malachi, I'm going to do it God's way. Heaven will be open and hell will be shut. Anybody see? It's not my words. It's his words. But if I do it my way, heaven will be shut and hell will be open. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. I'll let it digest for a minute. Does that mean I won't have any more trouble? No. Does it mean I won't ever be sick again? No. Does it mean that everything's going to be hunky-dory? No. Does it mean I'm going to fly around in a Learjet and have a 100-room mansion? No, no, no. No, God's not a genie in a bottle. You know, a guy's walking around the beach and he sees this bottle. He takes it up and he tries to clean it off, see what it says, and a genie pops out. Genie says, I've been in here for 1,000 years. Thank you for releasing me. He says, I'll give you 3 wishes. For letting me out. The man says, awesome. He said, but before I give them to you, let me tell you something. Whatever I give you, I'm going to give your mother-in-law half. He said, okay. So he said, I want $1 million. He went, boop, there's $1 million, but your mama's, or give her double. I got $1 million, but my mother-in-law's got $2 million. That's not funny. He said, I like a 100-room mansion. Boom, you got a 100-room mansion, but like I said, your mother-in-law gets double. She got a 200-room mansion. He says, what's your third wish? He said, beat me half to death. All right. Ah, y'all can do it. Ah! All the mother-in-laws in here going, ugh. Okay. So now, watch. God said, again, this does not mean you're not going to have problems. Doesn't mean things are not going to happen. It means that now they're going to happen through God's hand is going to stop the impact. I remember DC and Daniel. I took them in that back room many a time. And I said, boys, their mama was so mad at them. Said, you need to take them back there. I mean, you wear them out to where they can't even walk. I said, all right. And I carried them in the back. And I said, boys, y'all better make it. I know y'all don't try this at home. I said, boys, y'all better make it out good. Now, sometimes I didn't do this. Sometimes I did. DC looked at me like, yeah, right, Dad. Look, no. There's times I put them over my knee and I go to pop their hiney, I'd hit my leg at the same time. And so my leg got more than they did. You hear the noise from their hiney, but you hear the thump from my leg. I'd come out limping, and they're going, oh, mama, he killed me. But you see, the father was buffering the blow. The same way, there's still going to be things happen to you, but God will buffer the blow. There's no telling what it'd be like without him. Amen. So now here it is. I'm going to get ready to close. Somebody said, praise God. Okay. Or you can do it your way. Let's just watch this. The last 3 books of the Bible, one of them's Haggai. They're building the temple, rebuilding the temple, the second temple. And the New Living Translation says, now this is what the Lord of Heaven's armies says. The people are saying the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the Lord sent this message through his prophet Haggai, why are you living in luxurious houses while my house lies in ruins? This is what the Lord of Heaven's of armies says. Look at what's happening to you. You have planted much, but you harvest little. You eat, but you're not satisfied. You drink, but you're still thirsty. You put on clothes, but cannot keep warm. Your wages disappear as though you are putting them in pockets filled with holes. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies says. Look at what's happening to you. Now go up to the hills, bring down timber, and rebuild my house. Then I'll take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You hoped for rich harvests, but they are poor. When you brought your harvest home, I blew it away. Why? Because my house lies in ruins, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. While all of you are busy building your own fine houses, it's because of you that the heavens withhold the dew and the earth produces no crops. I called you for a drought on your fields and your hills, a drought to wither grain and grapes and olive trees, and all your other crops, a drought to starve you and your livestock, ruin everything you've worked so hard to get. Wow, that's some heavy stuff coming from the God of angels, armies. That's some heavy stuff coming from the God of grace. But what he's saying is, let's just put it in some modern day vernacular. Again, we're so busy doing our business that we forget God's business. We're so busy trying to take care of our stuff that we forget God's got some things that need to be done too. You know, I can see it. I ain't got time for you, God. I just ain't got time. I ain't got time. I ain't got talent. I ain't got treasures. Nothing for you right now, God, because I'm busy. You understand, because you're God of grace. You'll take care of it. You got it covered. Everything will be fine. And God says, that's not the principle I put in. Again, how many men in here, if your wife taps you on the shoulder this night and said, honey, I smell smoke. Linda said it was amazing that day that our hot water heater caught on fire. Hot water heater caught on fire just about a year ago. It caught on fire in the middle of the night. I had my breathing mask on, my CPAP, so I didn't smell it. But the dogs came in and woke her up. And then what happened was when the smoke came in, it went right into the return duct of the air conditioner, so it threw smoke all over the house. So they wake up Linda. Linda sees it, and she taps me, and she says, honey, the house is on fire. Now, how would it have been if I said, I'll go take care of it? Y'all wouldn't even listen to me right here, right now. That's what I was saying. Go take care of it, honey. Some of us are doing that spiritually. Take care of it, honey. I'm tired. Take care of it, honey. I got other things to do. God, you understand. Somebody else take care of it. No, I got up. And I was a fireman and an EMT. And I was also in the fire brigade at work. And so I knew what to do. I got up immediately. And I went around and started turning on lights to find out where it was coming from. And Linda said it was amazing how as soon as she woke me up, I didn't just sit and go, oh, what are you talking about? She said it was amazing because she said I went right up, jumped to my feet, started turning on lights, went around and found where it was at. When I found where it was at, I went and got a fire extinguisher, and I put the fire out. Then I went in and got the fans going and opened the windows. And she said, wow, it was amazing watching you in the middle of all this. She said, you just like, bam, you were like Superman. Come on back here. Snap my fingers too hard. Get back up there. There you go. Yeah. How many of y'all, if you knew that there was problems, and you may have something to do with it, or you found out a way to take care of it, would you just lay there and sleep and say, honey, take care of it? Or would you get up and do something? We got an election coming. Our country's gone so crazy liberal that we've got the two most hated candidates ever running. That makes no sense whatsoever. And no matter which one wins, I honestly have a problem with both of them, but I know the platform that I'm pulling for. And if more people had stood up, instead of saying, somebody else take care of it, somebody handle it. Guess what? We'd had two different candidates running. And we'd have had a better choice. The same way, we can sit back and blame everybody else for all of our spiritual problems, blame everybody else for the preacher's not preaching hard enough, the people are singing too loud, too soft, too wrong, the wrong song, the teachers aren't teaching right. Well, nobody told me this was going to happen, and blah, 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 blah. And the trouble is, when you stand before God, he's not going to ask you about me. He's not going to ask you about these guys. He's not going to ask you about the board. He's not going to ask you about that. He's going to say, like Jesus did. First he said, who do men say I am? He said, John the Baptist, you're Elias. He goes, no, 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 no. Who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? I know what they're saying. I want to know what you think. DC and I were talking the other day, and I remember when he said, you got to eat my bread and drink my blood, and they thought he was a cannibal. And that people started walking away and looked over at the disciples. And here's how I feel sometimes. The disciples said, y'all going to leave too? And they said, where we're going to go, you've got the words of eternal life. But what they're also saying is, watch this. We're in this thing too deep already. How can we stop?
How can we stop? I'm in it too deep. I've invested my life. I've invested everything I got. I've invested all. I said, Lord, we're going for broke. There it is, Lord. Here it is. The same way. That's the way we should be. But now Alexander the Great would go to conquer an island. He would go, conquer an area. He went in and he went across boats. When they got the boats over to the other side, they knew it was going to be rough. They knew it was going to be tough. And so when they go over to the other side, the first thing he tells them to do is, I want you to burn your boats. Why are we going to burn our boats? Because I want you to know you're in it too deep. Get in there and take care of it. If you got your boat, you're going to say, well, I can get out. I got this. No, burn your boats. We got problems in this nation. It's going to get worse and worse. Your freedoms are being taken away every week. And especially if you got Christian on your label, you're in big trouble around here. So you know what? God says, I got it covered. You put me first, I'll put you first. I'll take care of it. Amen? Amen. So here we go. Get ready. Get ready. I'm almost through. I'm almost through. Get ready. Watch. God's blessings are endless. Get ready. Yeah. tipping point. Remember, my house full principle means your house full promise. Wow. You put me first. You do my business, and I'll take care of yours. We're hands extended. We're called the body of Christ. Are we called the body? Because some of us are the hands, some of us are the feet, some of us are the nose. You say, well, I just feel like, you know, I'm just one of those little parts nobody wants to even look at. Well, you know what? He said the comely parts, you got even more honor. So, let me just ask you a question here. Look, it's I pour out blessings you cannot receive. So my question is, here's my question. Are you just getting by physically, spiritually, financially? Are you just getting by? Or are you depending on yourself? Are you just living, or are you living in the blessings of the overflow? I remember when I was at Procter & Gamble years ago, when I started tithing, God had to get it through my thick skull. Once he got it through my thick skull, I was tithing every week, and I was giving the missions, and I was giving offerings, and I was doing all kinds of stuff. My daddy thought I was crazy. My people thought I was crazy, but I kept on. And then it got so good to me, I even just upped the ante. And every time without fail, and I'm not saying you got to do this, I'm telling you my personal experience. Every time I upped the ante, God matched it and beyond. Every time. Not once, not twice, every time. Did it happen right away? No. It took a few months, but every time I upped the ante, he matched it and beyond. He let me see just how good things could be. So now, Elijah. Get ready. I know y'all are, look, here he is, see Elijah. Some of y'all looking at me like a mule looking at a new gate. Get ready. Get ready, here it goes. Elijah was in famine. Famine was all around him, 3.5 years. But the famine didn't affect him. Because the Bible says first he put him at the brook Cherith, which means covenant. He puts him there, and the ravens come and feed him, and he drinks water from the brook. Well, if the ravens feed him, let me tell you something about this now. The ravens, if you look it up in Hebrew, the word raven means buzzard. So the buzzards were bringing him meat every day. There's no telling where they got that meat from, because buzzards don't go to the grocery store. And I told you, I'm trying to work on a sermon called the Roadkill Cafe about Elijah. But then he went to this little widow woman. Went to the widow woman. And she was getting ready. She only had sticks and stuff for one little meal. She was going to fix it for her son. Although God already told her he was going to take care of her and take care of this prophet. But she still was getting ready to die. And he goes and says, if you do what I tell you, everything will be fine. And for the rest of the famine, she made him a cake first. Principle, take care of God's business. And for the rest of the famine, every time the woman went to that barrel, it weren't overflowing, but every time she went to that barrel, there was that handful. She always had stuff for the house. Always had stuff to feed her kid. Always. It was always there. You see, every time Elijah reached the barrel, God worked another miracle. And I'm getting ready to close. Y'all guys get ready to play something. Test me, says the Lord. Test me. You see, our God is able to turn any necessity into an opportunity. In the, you know, I just did a semester in something called crisis intervention. And in crisis intervention, of course, that's when you don't necessarily solve all the problems immediately, but you stop the bleeding. That's what I told her. She liked the way I said that, stop the bleeding. I do that all the time. You may come to me sometimes and go, what are we going to do? And I'll say, well, we can't fix it right now, but we can stop the bleeding. That's what I'm talking about, crisis intervention. And I think what's so awesome about it is when you get in crisis, a lot of times you're thinking it's all bad, bad, bad. But in God's economy, crisis is a good thing. Because crisis is something immediate. Matter of fact, the Chinese word for crisis is two characters, dangerous and opportunity. Danger, opportunity. It means dangerous opportunity. If you don't take advantage of it, problems are coming. If you take advantage of the crisis, you're going to see God move in a very special way. God doesn't do this because he's a mean God sitting up in heaven. Remember, God can take care of it just like that. But God is a God of principle. And because he's a God of principle, that's why all those years people sacrificed those bulls and goats, because God's a God of principle. And when the time was right, he sent his son. And his son took the place of the bulls and goats. The bulls and goats were a picture. What his son did, now the Old Testament looked forward to Calvary. We look back to Calvary. God's a God of principle. God says you look to the cross, you're going to see something special take place in your life. You're going to find salvation. You're going to find hope. The same way, our God is a God of principle when it comes to us. It's like I've got people in my family right now that will argue me down. When I walk in the door, they're ready to argue me down about politics. They will fight me, almost put me in a headlock and wrestle me down. And I'll go, and they know that they don't believe like I do. And so I think they even try to start something. And they get all mad and all upset, like they're going to fight me. And one day I just said, let me ask you a question. Who'd you vote for? And they said, vote? I said, yeah, who'd you vote for? They said, I've never voted. Person's in their 70s. I've never voted. You going to vote this time? No. I said, then our discussion's closed. You've got no skin in the game. God says, prove me. Put some skin in the game. And watch what I'll do. Step up to the plate. Be concerned about me as much as you are about yourself. That's what Malachi or Haggai was talking about. You're more concerned about yourself than you are God. God didn't say you couldn't have the houses. God didn't say you couldn't be blessed. God said, I want to bless you. But I need your attitude to be right. Be as concerned about me and my business as you are about your business. Be so concerned about my business that comes number one. And watch what I'll do. I will do something that you ain't got pockets big enough. And I'm not talking about always money. You ain't got pockets big enough. You ain't got hands big enough to carry what I'm going to put there. Prove me, says God. Put me to the test. And when you put him to the test, that's not my words, that's his. Matter of fact, all I've told you today was his word. That's it. His word. His word. But I know his word is true. I know his word works. I know what my motivation is. I'm motivated out of love. I used to be motivated out of fear. I was afraid I was going to go to hell. I'm not afraid I'm going to hell anymore. I want to be in heaven with God. My motivation is love now. Legalism, your motivation is fear. A relationship with Jesus Christ, your motivation is love. This is all we got to do about relationship and love. I love you, God. I don't want to be legalistic. I love you. Prove me. I need you. Also, not just prove him in that, but I need you to ask him to show you how to vote on Tuesday. Because that's another one. Both of them. Biggies. Number one, vote for God. Number two, vote how God leads. Watch what will happen. Everybody stand. God, again, is a God of principle. It hit me this week that there was 400 silent years. I knew that, but it just hit me. He leaves them with, you need to quit robbing me, get yourself out right with me. Then he's silent for 400 years. He says, okay, I want you to do this not based on feeling. You got to do this based on faith. Not because woolly boogers and hair crawling on your neck, but because you trust my word. And then watch what I'll do. Right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, first let me ask this one thing. If you're here this day and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, then you definitely got no skin in the game. Kind of like somebody that was arguing about the vote and about politics, but they don't ever cast their vote. The same way, we can argue about religion all we want to. If we don't know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, you can argue religion all the way to hell. You got to know Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. If you're here today with every head bowed, every eye closed, and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I'm not going to embarrass you. Matter of fact, we're all going to say the sinner's prayer together. You won't even have to come up here. Well, all I'm asking you to do is just acknowledge, if you're here, I don't know Jesus as my personal Savior, and I need to. Would you put that hand up? Not going to embarrass you. Just ask. Next question. You once knew him, you stood strong, and now you're so far from him, you wouldn't know how to get back on the right road. You feel like you've gone too far, too long, too gone, and you're needing God to help you in this. You're needing God because you can't get it up anyway. God's got to pick you up. If I'm talking to you right now, you feel like you're so far gone that God can't even help you. Well, nobody's looking around. I'm not even going to acknowledge you. I just want you to raise your hand so I can see it. And we're all going to pray together. You're here and you're thinking, I'm so far gone, I need God to do something. Big time. Big time in my life. And then finally, one more thing. I need a closer walk. I'm tired of feeling like he's 100 miles away. I need a closer walk with him. I need God to help me. He says if I'll draw close to him, he'll draw close to me. And I just need some help right now. Kickstart. Can somebody help me? Is what you're saying. If I'm talking to you right now, again, I'm not even going to acknowledge, but we're going to all pray together in a minute. If that's you, you just need that closer walk with God. Would you put that hand up? I need a closer walk. I need God to help me. All right, get ready. We're all going to pray together. Ready? Y'all repeat after me. That way we're all doing it. Lord, I need you. So many times, I have blown it. So many times, I have walked the wrong way. So many times, I have turned you away, Lord. Get ready. I want you to say this now. God, forgive me for putting you to the side. Forgive me for not following your instructions. Forgive me for putting you last. Right now, I stand in need of your power and your authority to pick me up and to put me back where I belong with you. I ask your forgiveness. I accept your grace. You said in your word that if I acknowledged you with my mouth and believed in my heart that you died and rose again, that I would be saved. I just acknowledge with my mouth. I'm believing in my heart. Today's a different day. I'm walking away from here a free man and free woman. Right now, God, I thank you for your grace. Give Lord a hand clap of praise. Glory! Glory! Yes! Now, if you need anything else, the altars are open. If you need anything else, come up here and pray. But God just did a powerful work. A very, very powerful work. Don't let the enemy try to steal it. And remember, it's not based on feelings. It's not based on the hairs running up down your neck and on your back. It's not based on goosebumps. It's based on, I believe what God's Word said, and I trust His Word. Now, all that need to pray, come on up here and pray. All that need to pray, come on up here and pray. Come on up here and pray. God is awesome. God is awesome. God is awesome. If you don't need to pray for yourself, come and pray with somebody else. Please don't anybody be up here praying by themselves. This is part of it. I'm taking care of His business. I'm going to pray for somebody. I'm going to pray for somebody. Come on up here. Pray for somebody. Don't let them be by themselves. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you, God, for all you do. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, Lord. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Father. Glory! Glory! Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're coming to you now with open arms. Open arms, open hearts, open minds. Touch us, God. Touch us, God. Touch us, Lord. Touch us. Yes, glory. 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 Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God. Praise the Lamb of God. Yes. You're awesome, God. You're awesome, God. You're awesome. God, I stand before you. I stand before you in need. But God, you've got it. And I trust you. 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 I remember one week, I was having a bad week. I mean, a bad week. Not only was I having my problems at work, I was having problems with my wife. Excuse me, she was having problems with me. However you want to say it. We were having problems. And I was in a group. We were supposed to go play at a church. I was so mad. I had problems with the people I was playing with. I had problems with my family. I had problems with work. And my belly was hurting so bad, all I could do was throw up and feel this burning. It burned. I was burning at both ends. I was just burning. And I remember very distinctly, they come by and said, it's time to go play. And I said, I ain't going. I am not going. God's done nothing for me. I've got nothing but trouble. I'm not going. And I sit there, and I had DC. He was a baby, and I was holding DC. And the Lord spoke to me and said, is that how I've taught you? Is that putting me first? Is that trusting me taking care of my business? And the Lord convicted me, and I got there just in time to tune my guitar. And so I tuned my guitar, and we're playing and singing. I'm hurting. Man, am I hurting. I'm hurting inside. I'm hurting my spirit. I'm hurting in my emotions. I'm hurting mentally. My belly's hurting. My throat's hurting. And I'm still there playing and singing. God ain't done anything. We get through playing. We sit down. I'm on the front row. And while the preacher's preaching, he walks over and doesn't even look me in the face. He just walks over and points at me and keeps on going. And the moment he pointed at me, I felt a hand reach inside of me. And it pulled me so hard that I came up out of the seat. When I came up out of the seat, my wife said, "What's wrong?" I said, "God just healed me. I'm not hurting for the first time in the longest of time. I felt healed here, here, and here, just like that. Nobody touched me. Nobody prayed specifically for me. But I decided to get up off of my seat of, well, what's God done for me? What's my family done for me? What's anybody else done for me?" I got up, and I put God first. And God healed me. And then I tested him that night. I said, "Prove me." I went and had pizza. God wants us to take care of his business. He'll take care of us. Amen. God's awesome. God's awesome. Everybody stand. God is awesome. Brother Steve.
Father God, we just praise you. Love you, Lord. And Lord, we pray that you are still in our hearts to follow your word, to love you, Lord. That we put you first. And Lord, we know that you'll take care of everything that we run up against, Lord. That you'll bless us. And Lord, if we'll look back in our lives, Lord, we can see your hand many, many times. In times of trouble and times of need, Lord, that you're always there. And Lord, we give you honor, glory, and praise for it. And thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in each and every life. In Jesus' precious and holy name.